Can non-commutative LP spaces be renormed to be stable?
Perfect. Oh, thank you, Gilles. It's a great pleasure to be back in Vancouver. Are there lights here that will help the blackboard be better seen?
From this side.
These? Here? Okay. So I'm really talking about a question which is in classical Banach space theory, but about non-commutative LP spaces. So, and this is joint work with Marius Junge. And I should also say that there are aspects of this which are very much work in progress, and what we are able to prove and what we are not able to prove is quite fascinating. If it turns out that what we have is the optimal result, that would be even more fascinating. So let me first remind you of what means Krivine-Moray stability. So I'm just going to take the separable case. That's all I'm interested in. And they introduce this term stable if, so I'll give you a definition which is equivalent to stability. They defined it in terms of ultra powers and products, but there's no need for that. So given xi and yj bounded sequences in x, so that you assume that these limits exist for all I and j. Convention is usual in logic. Things mean what they say. So it's a little equivalence I discovered while I was in Israel, actually, at the Haifa conference. So you assume for each I that this limit exists for all I and this limit exists for all j, then the iterated limits exist and agree. So then the iterated limits exist and agree. So that is to say you have limit I, limit j. Okay, so when you write the thing this way, this concept of the double limit existing in both ways and having the same answer has occurred before in mathematics, so you can characterize the weakly almost periodic functions this way. So it's a very natural, actually it's due to Grothendieck, I think. It's a very natural concept, and then it turns out that there are many, many equivalent definitions the moment that you say, you write this equation and you say if the things make sense on both sides, then you have the same answer. All of those things are equivalent. You can put ultra powers here. That's also the power of something. When you realize there are 10 different things equivalent to it, it means something. Well, so what did they prove besides just giving a definition? So their theorems are so if X stable implies LP of X is stable for all 1 less than or equal to P less than infinity. In particular, LP is stable, which is not so trivial. And 2, X stable infinite dimensional, of course, implies there exists a P greater than or equal to 1 less than infinity, so that LP is almost isometric to a subspace. X. So I should say that, in fact, it was this theorem which motivated their work, and the theorem was proved in the special case of L1. In fact, this is the same as LP, but I'll write it this way. So, he previously proved this result. Let's say X is a subspace of LP itself. So this is 2 I'm talking about. So what happened was that Aldous proved this remarkable theorem for subspaces of LP itself. It's not the same P, so let me just say LQ. Okay. And in that case, there are special values that can only occur. But the point is that Aldous proved this result that if you take a subspace of LQ, then in turn this has some little LP almost isometric inside it. And then studying his proof, Moret and Krivine discovered this remarkable generalization. And so the first thing, which is a lot of my own motivation, maybe I can put this here, is this is an open problem. So if X is a subspace of, let's just say N star. So N, a non-type 1 von Neumann algebra. Is there a P greater than or equal to 1, less than or equal to 2, such that... it's solved for the non-reflexive case anyway, which was also known, such that LP embeds into X. Those are the only possible values, but the reason I'm saying non-type... Oh, so this is the pre-dual of a non-type 1 von Neumann algebra, and it's not really so important for this talk that you know what that means, except that I just want to say what is known about the stability of the non-commutative LP spaces at this point as far as the actual stability. And what have I done with that? I just want to say who did what when. Okay, so yeah, so this is the theorem. So you let P be greater than 1, less than infinity. So for this talk, the P equals 2 case is sort of the trivial case. L2 is stable. And N denotes a von Neumann algebra. Then LP of N is stable if... So this is due to Yves Renault. And only if Marcellino Nani N is type 1. Well, so what is that, by the way? That's LP of... this is what we're talking about, this Banach space. CP denotes the Schatten P class. As I understand it, the reason C is used is because of a misunderstanding of what the Russian letter was supposed to stand for S. But at any rate, that's life. And this is this classical Banach space. So the point is that Renault proved that this space is stable. But you see, the issue is that CP is stable, and then you get that LP of CP is stable, and then LP of N is going to be one of the animals that's living inside of this somehow. So it's actually that's the part due to Renault, and then the other part is due to Nani that this is okay. So I'm going to talk mainly about the canonical choice for a non-type 1 von Neumann algebra. And this is the hyperfinite type 2 1 factor, and it does turn out that we can discuss LP of the hyperfinite type 2 1 factor without ever knowing what any of those words mean, besides P. So I do want to explain what that animal is and then discuss what Marius and I have done. So this is our theorem. Well, so this is an isometric statement. In its given norm, most of those guys are not stable Banach spaces, but the question which is has always been a fascinating question to me is, how can you give a criterion to renorm a Banach space to be stable, besides just saying, well, you renorm it, blah, blah, blah. So you want to have some, you know, when is it true that the Banach space can be renormed to be stable? And my first guess on this was that you could never do it in the counterexample situation, and that turned out to be wrong. So let R be the hyperfinite type 2-1 factor. So this is Marius and myself. Then LP of R is isomorphic, that is to say, can be renormed to a stable Banach space. If P equals 2 to the n, or 3 times 2 to the n, or n equals 1, 2. Okay, so of course your first impression with this result is, well, of course you should at least get it for all the P greater than 2. Can't you just interpolate or something? Okay, so first let me say, let's see, we have here, n equals 1 is a trivial case, but 4 and 6, these are not so trivial. And there's a renorming technique which I want to discuss and how this arises and so on. So these are the first, these are the non-trivial, first non-trivial cases, and then we get it for the rest. So let me say that after beating my head against the wall more than I want to for most things in this mathematical life, I start to think that since nothing seems to work, that maybe this is the answer, but we don't really have any. Well, there's some very exciting possibilities for showing that the thing doesn't work for P equals 1. We don't know that. But the issue of, well, I should just say that I strongly conjecture that there exist subsymmetric, non-symmetric basic sequences in the pre-dual, and that will show you cannot renorm to be stable. But, well, that's the work in progress part. Okay, so let me try to say what this Banach space is. So if we want to think of a Banach space as being an increasing union of finite dimensional spaces, and then take a norm, you have these finite dimensional spaces, and you have norm defined on this union of these things, and then you just take the closure. So that's all that we need. So here's, and I also like to have a picture, so I'm not going to use tensor products, which is, this is LP of MT, the tensor product from 1 to infinity of this thing, but I don't have any picture with tensor product, so I'll give you a little picture for what this guy really is without talking about tensor products. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that to analyze something you may not eventually need to know what the Feynman algebra is, but we can define LP in all of these cases of interest without ever talking about it, and even the tools that we use without ever talking about R itself. Yeah, and by the way, yeah, I should point out that Marcolino Nani's theorem is really that this guy cannot be renormed to be stable. So that's the real theorem. It's about this very particular fundamental. I'm sorry. It is not stable in its given norm. That's what I meant to say. But you know, listen to what I mean to say, not what I say. So. That's what you tell your kids, right? So that's what I meant to say. Is that? So this is it is given norm. It's not stable. And then it turns out that if you have a non-type one for Neumann algebra, then LP of R sits completely isometrically as a subspace of that guy. So in reality, this is the guy. So there's this one concrete object, which is as follows. So I'm going to define what the LP thing is. So, and I'm going to stick this as, I do have to use a Hilbert space after all. These things are things operating on a Hilbert space. But we're going to take little L2 and let AN be all matrices. These are infinite matrices, so this is a subspace of little B of L2, which is M infinity. So here's what they are. A. This is the same A down the diagonal zeros here. This is 2 to the N by 2 to the N. So, for example, I could take 1, 2, 2, 3, 1, 2, 2, 3, 1, 2, 2, 3, blah, 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 blah. Okay. But now the interesting thing is, of course, that AN is contained in AN plus 1 in a nice way. And let me just call this for no good reason. Well, you'll see why I do it. This is like a little C0. Car sub 0 is going to be the union of these guys. So the point is that because this is a finite matrix, after all, the norm of this guy operating on little L2 is just the norm of this guy. So each animal that I've written down here is an operator on B of little L2, and then I take the closure, and that's actually an algebra. But the norm that I put on this thing is, so I let tau of A equals the trace. The normalized trace of A. Okay? So tau of A is a normalized trace on A. And now this tau guy is actually, tau is actually so you have the tau of AB equals tau. So I've defined it on AN, but then actually you get the same answer if you take AN plus 1. So this guy actually tau, this guy tau, is really defined on what I'm calling car sub 0. And you have this fundamental business. And now finally I want to say what is the LP norm. So on car sub 0, the LP norm of tau is tau. You take A to the absolute value to the p-th power, and you take 1 over p. Okay? So you see, after all, then AN in the LP norm, well, now I don't know what to call this. You call it CNP or N-dimensional Schott and P class, right? That's what it is. So in the classical Banach space way, we have these things unioning up, and then we take LP of R as the closure of this. This is simply the closure of car D. Car sub 0 in this norm, in the P norm. So this is the Banach space that we're talking about. And by the way, if you take the closure of this in the operator topology norm, you get the car algebra, the fermion algebra. So all of these things, it's been a struggle for me in trying to understand what's going on in this field of research, because every single book, you have a 1,000-page book, and all the examples are on page 998, right? So you read all this general theory, and finally you talk to people and realize that, oh, my God, you mean this is what you're talking about? And so it's not so hard to understand what it is you're talking about. But after all, to see the Banach space structure and so on, that's another matter. So, okay, so now we know what the thing is, maybe. And let me say how we do this thing. So, I didn't write down enough to have a proof, but I wrote down enough to morally convince myself that the interpolated norms of what we get are not stable. So, of course, you know, it's more interesting maybe to see that the thing doesn't work. But so you might say, well, that's what I said before. Why don't you just interpolate and get them all? Well, no, there's no way. It just doesn't work. And as I say, I think we can prove that the natural interpolation of the norms that we produce are not stable. So, okay, so what next? Well, now, this, so we need the fundamental facts. So this is the Banach space language that I would like to say, though, that suppose that I set let X in, so I'm not going to define what they are, but you have natural maps. Well, actually, I can define what they are, can't I? I mean, you also have En goes from An plus 1 to An by A, B, C, D. Help. This goes to A plus D over 2. A plus D over 2. 0, 0. Did I say it right? This is the conditional expectation operator of an plus 1 onto an. There's this net. So this has a structure after all. This is giving you these operators, of course, actually extend. En is really then you extend by the product, and this is really an operator from LP of R onto an. And this is producing us a monotone FDD. But what PCA and Shu proved is that it's an unconditional FDD. And so we need that structure for P greater than 1. We need that structure in order to give our renorming. And so this is right. So now suppose that I let Xn equals the set of all. So now these T in An, such that the n minus first expectation of t is 0. So then, and so x0 is just the, this is for n greater than 1, and x0 equals constants anyway. That's not important for us. Then you have that this is an unconditional FDD. So, so this is x1 plus x0 plus x1 plus x2 is an unconditional FDD of LP of R for P greater than 1 less than infinity. Okay. Finite dimensional decomposition. FDD is a finite dimensional decomposition. So these are, this gives you a Schauder decomposition of the thing, but unconditional is what's critical here. And so there's another point, which I'll gloss over a bit, but of course we are really interested in these guys as complex Banach spaces because of the, well, because of the whole idea of operator spaces, and you take complex Hilbert space and so on. But this kind of question is a real Banach space question. So, and up here, it's for one thing, one is working in the given norm, but the proof immediately yields that the self-adjoint guys are also not stable. So, in fact, what Marcellino Nani did in producing the sequences which are not which are witnessing the non-stability of LP. Those are self-adjoint operators, and you know, so that's what I want to say is I'll probably forget to say this. So we will show to LP of N self-adjoint. So by simple Banach space techniques, if we show that we can renorm the self-adjoint ones, after all, as a Banach space, the LP thing is just the direct sum of this thing with itself over the complex numbers, and you can introduce a complex structure on what you get and discover that this is a stable Banach space again. So since we are concerned with renorming, this is really the animal that we need to look at. So it becomes real Banach space theory. So then I want to say what their result yields. For x in LP of, so it's become tau now instead of R, because it depends, it's, there is, well, there's, this is the only way to do it, but anyway. Whoops. Well, it's, of course, it's true for the less than or equal to, but it's the P greater than 2 that we are interested in. So this is, again, we have that, so I'm going to call it this. With this, this is a PZA shoe norm. And this is, yes, a self-adjoint, damn. For the self-adjoint things, this is, you take, this is all you need to do. So you take X, so now I want XJ is an XJ, and X is going to be the sum of the XJs. And by the way, in discussing a question like this, you also only need to consider the X's which have a finite expansion. If you find the norm which you show is stable with these finite expansions, then you're going to get it. So you only need to discuss. So, I mean, this is, if I forget to say these things. Anyway, regardless, this is what happens. You take the absolute value of these things to the 1 over P norm, and now you take the LP norm of this thing is an equivalent norm. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Yeah, it would get me in big trouble later on. So this is an equivalent norm. Absolute value of a matrix. Remember, these are finite matrix, so it's an operator on the Hilbert space, blah, blah, blah. But this is, you take the finite, the n by n matrix, and you take the square root of A star A.
So is it A star A? Or?
Yes, it's A star A.
It's self-adjoint anyway.
It's self-adjoint anyway because I, that's what I say. You can probably write down a more elegant thing if you don't worry about the self-adjoint things, but really this is where the, it's self-adjoint anyway. Okay. All right, so on LP of R. Tau. Okay, so now, so I won't keep saying this is our work. The first thing we get is that is a stable norm on LP of the self-adjoint things for P equals 4, P equals 6. So I strongly believe that that this is it. In this particular norm, that's it. End of story. So, but we do something else to get all the other ones. So that's what I say, that you see, if you interpolate, you're going to get this same norm in betweens, and it's not stable, and interpolation doesn't work, and nothing works, and so well. Okay. So anyway, this is theorem one.
So here you know it's exactly 4 and 6?
No, I say I think so, but I convinced myself up to the last four lines, so you know what I mean. So what? So going through, I mean, it's going through Marcellino Nani's construction and checking all of the things and seeing it doesn't work, but I didn't carry it to the end, so there may have been a mistake. But I mean, it, you know, when things don't work and they don't work and finally you come up with a reason why they don't work, you sort of... Okay, so anyway, no, I don't say that, but... I'm sure it's wrong for 3, though. Absolutely sure. And 3, so we don't know it for... We don't know that... by the way, we don't know that you can renorm L3 to be stable. Nevertheless, so there is a notion. Okay. Well, okay, so let's do some reduction. So, as I said, there are many equivalent definitions for stable Banach space, and in fact, as you start to realize... the real issue is the equality of those iterated limits. By hook or by crook, you can get the iterated limits to exist. And then the issue is, are they equal or not? So you can keep refining your sequences as much as you like, to have as much structure on them as you like, and discover, are the iterated limits the same? And so we have the following observation. a reflexive Banach space so you have this reduction. It is stable provided for all weakly null sequences. I think you can make them be semi-normalized and basic. Let's call it yi and zj in x and all x and x. And now I'll write what I want to write, the limit of x, assuming whatever you need to say about these things making sense. Okay. So you can reduce, instead of taking general bounded sequences, because you're in a reflexive Banach space, you could cut to where they weakly converge, and you can cut more and make them weakly null, but it looks like this. Okay, yeah. I've said it right, yeah. So this is, I guess this is lemma one. Oh, so now let's make a definition. So if X is in the self-adjoint guys, let X twiddle equals summation XJ squared. So I'll just take it this way. And here X is the sum XJ, and the XJs are in this. Okay. So this is lemma one. Okay, and here P is going to be greater than 2, so this is a general fact. We're weakly null. And so what do I want to say about this? X plus X plus YN twiddle minus X to the twiddle minus YN to the twiddle this tends to, what do I want to say, this guy goes to 0 in LP over 2. Yeah, this is what I want to say. Well, so this is the proof, roughly. These are self-adjoint. Yeah. So the point is that you take X plus so this thing is X plus YN J squared, right? Yeah. Just what I want to say. Wait. So actually, we can take these to be finite sums. Okay? So so the assumption that this thing is weakly null, what's going on here? Okay. So the assumption that this thing is weakly null, you have that y, this is actually tending to zero in norm. That's a, so it's tending to zero weakly. That's going on in the finite dimensional Banach space Xj, and so it's going to zero in norm. And so that's causing these guys to go out. So that's really the proof. See, so these guys go to zero in norm. So this is roughly the idea. Okay. All right, so let's make a definition. So now there's a new idea here. Let's say that LP of N, so this is going to be a general von Neumann algebra, is positively stable. If whenever xj, yk are, so this is a general notion, are positive sequences. So these are positive operators. Think of them as the matrices over here. Are positive sequences, are sequences of positive operators in LP. Maybe I should say YJ, and so I don't mix up with ZK. The limit over J is a limit over K. Okay. So now this is lemma 2. Suppose that this guy is an equivalent norm on LP. So now this is going to be over tau, which is positively stable. Then define, so this is a definition, self-adjoint. Oops. Is stable. So actually, this is the this lemma 1 is what gives this thing. So if I happen to have a norm which is positively stable, then this thing will give me a stable norm. So this is lemma 2. So then we start, you see, if you believe everything I've said so far, which I don't really expect, then so then you see we start, and so we have that this is certainly stable. It's positively stable. So then we get that x 4 equals x squared. This is on the to the 1/2. So we just pump along with this lemma and we get all of these things. So this gets us all of the 2 to the n. Okay? Thank you. Twiddles. Twiddles. Yeah. I have to take Twiddles. So we're using all the time the PCHU thing, which allows us to work just with these positive guys. Yes, so this is the thing. All right. So I think I hope I have 5 minutes to discuss. So this is what gets us all the two to the end. And to get 6 and 2 and 12 and so on, we actually start with L3. So L3 is positively stable. So that's what I want to discuss in a little bit, because that's where the nitty-gritty kind of comes up with limit theorems and non-commutative probability theory and how you control things and the types and so on. So all of that stuff. At least I hope I have enough time to explain this. Okay, and so finally this is theorem. The theorem is this. So this works for any let N be a finite Feynman algebra, anyone, although we're mainly interested in R, and tau is your faithful tracial state. Just think all the time of what I said at the beginning. Then L3 self-adjoint, well, whatever it is, L3 of tau is positively stable. Okay. So, here's the dilemma which does it. So, I think that to save time, if you don't know what a type is on a Banach space, ask me after the lecture. Anyway, we're not defining types except on the positive guys. So, I don't know what they are, because we're only interested in the positive guys in this situation here. So, this is the dilemma which does everything. Let yj be a bounded sequence in. So now we're in L3 plus. So these are the positive things. So that one, so I'm calling this y0, and this is going to be the limit as j tends to infinity of tau of y. This is the limit of the norms to the third power. So these limits exist. Two. So that's the third powers, but we need also the second powers. What horrible terminology. Okay, so this is the limit as j tends to infinity of yj squared. And this is existing in, this is converging weakly in L3 halves tau. This is a bounded sequence in L3 halves tau, and I could pass through a subsequence so that limit exists weakly. So this guy is a constant. This guy is an honest to God guy. It's a function or not a function. It's not a constant. And of course also, so this will be the limit as j tends to infinity. And this is why I'm denoting the things this way. This is not a second power. It's just some guy. But this is the yj's. Which one is this? Oh yeah, this is weakly in L3. Okay. Then for any x in for x in L3 plus of tau. What happens here? We have that the limit over j of, so I'm not even, so this is x plus yj And this is L3 tau. Okay, so of course, Z L3 tau equals Z tau of Z cubed to the 1/3. Okay, so but this is determined. This is the whole point. So this is equal to, this is tau of X cubed plus Y bar 0 plus X squared where is the damn limit? Plus 3 of tau of X Y bar 1. That's what I want to say. Plus 3 tau of X Y bar 2. So I was going to write down the pretty proof of this thing, but okay. So you do this computation, and of course, you see, you have to take x plus yj, and then you have to take tau of this guy, and then you have to take all those limits and everything. But what I want to say is that this is tau of x cubed plus tau of yj cubed plus. And now you have a whole bunch of things, but the trace allows you to collapse them all into three terms. So, for example, you'll have things like this. You'll have tau of x squared yj plus tau of x yj x plus tau of x squared yj. But the point is that now, because you have a trace, you can move them all over, and you get these three things there. So the trace is what allows this thing to work. And then finally, you prove the theorem by, well, proof of theorem is, so you let yj zk in L3 plus of tau so that,
time's up.
Okay, 2 minutes. Those limits exist. So then you have the limit over J, the limit over K equals something, equals the limit over K, the limit over J of YJ plus ZK. Right. So if I could just write this one equation, it winds up being Z bar 0 plus Y bar 0 plus 3 tau of Z bar 2 Y bar 1 plus 3 tau Z bar 1 Y bar 2. So the iterated limits wind up being the same because of the possibility of doing these things. And when you pass to the case p equals 4 instead of the case p equals 3, then you can't do this no more. And you do not get that the norm is determined just by knowing those separate limits. So in a sense, this is why, to me, the commutative case works. It isn't actually because you can commute. It's because, as Ed would say, I guess, when you come to try to compute norms or moments, you only need to take two at a time. That's because of the commutativity, you could say. So the thing doesn't work for p equals 4, which is why I think the L4 thing is not positively stable. But perhaps by the end of the conference, we'll know some of those things for sure. Thank you.
Reflects the subspace of the B-dual phenomenon of the know that, for instance, all spreading models are symmetric, so we have an inequality which tells the symmetry in that case. But we don't know whether it can be mean or to be stable. We have some indication for a positive answer, which is probably not enough, but shows that there's a lot of symmetry going on in this case.
For a PP,
for every reflective subspace of a people of a phenomenon.
Okay, well, this is...